you would tell a church planter who's getting a coach because he's been told you need a coach? Does his wife need a coach? And if so, what kinds of things are you discovering or learning about coaching a church planter's wife?
Welcome to the Gospel Coach Podcast. We're here to remind, refresh, resource, and re-engage with gospel coaches all around the globe. Glad you can join us. I'm your host, Jim Moon Jr., and I'm here today with the pioneer of gospel coaching, Dr. Tom Wood. He's the founder and president of CMM, where for 15 years, he's been training gospel coaches in the cross-conversation model. It has spread from Atlanta to every continent. Our goal in these podcasts is to empower you, the gospel coach, in your ongoing coaching of other leaders. We'll give you examples of what we've learned over the years and invite different guest coaches to share what they've learned through coaching to advance the gospel with their coachees. So whether you're in the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, or Cuba, Germany, or any other nation, let's get started cross-pollinating ideas and insights in gospel coaching. We'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to send us a note at gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com with questions and comments.
Hi, Jim. Glad you can make it into work today.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Hey, welcome back. You've been traveling quite a bit.
Have been traveling, yes.
Doing some good stuff. Yeah. Training and training trainers.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to the, you call the Big Island.
The Big Island, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't bring me any treats. I'm a little disappointed, but...
So sorry.
From the Big Island. I guess it's still illegal, huh?
It's still not permitted.
Permitted.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're here. So...
Yeah, it's good to be together. We have a friend today, and we want to give her as much time as possible because she's adding a lot of value to CMM. We're really glad to have Olivia with us.
Welcome, Olivia.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So glad you could join this convo today. You're our new addition to the CMM coaching family. You're a full-time everything, mom, pastor's wife, all the things that go into being that. So, and yet you have carved out time to do coaching. And so we want to talk a little bit, but before we get into some of the particulars of women coaching, that's going to be our topic for the day is the value and the experiences that you're learning in gospel coaching for women. And so we want to explore those things with you. But before we do, and it's just introducing yourself to us, tell us a little bit about your own story, your background and experiences. And then as that story continues, how you got into gospel coaching.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So I went straight into full-time ministry just a couple months after graduating from college. I moved overseas to China as a missionary and spent 4 years in country discipling, training staff, mostly with college students, but then somehow inadvertently planted a church. We had so many people that came to know the Lord, and we ended up kind of accidentally planting a church there. So that was a very fruitful time. Decided my husband needed a seminary degree if we were going to continue that kind of work. Moved back to the States. He went to seminary, and we ended up, the Lord kind of diverted our path. We ended up planting a church in 2010. And becoming a church planner's wife was a bit of a shock to me. I'd served on staff as a woman on staff with a gospel ministry, and now as a church planner's wife. And so those early days were tough, a bit lonely, and complicated, I guess, navigating those waters. So those are my early days. That's how I first was introduced to coaching. I was blessed to have a coach in that season. I tell a lot of people, I'm not sure my husband or I would still be in full-time ministry if we hadn't been coached in those early years. Wow. So that was God's gift to us, God's grace to us.
So you didn't sign up. You didn't sign up to be a church planter's wife. You were going to be. Did you and Corey go to right out of college, both of you, over to China?
Yeah, we weren't married at that time. We were single. So yeah, I was a single woman on staff, and he's a single man on staff. And then we dated, and we got married, and then we went back as a married couple. So.
Oh.
But yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was kind of my story of, you know, needing a coach and having a coach and being blessed by a coach led me to pursue being certified as a coach so that I could give that gift to other women in ministry.
Do you think that if when you were a missionary, single woman, in China, would it looking back on it now with the hindsight that you have and the experiences that you've had, that a mentor or a coach would have helped you while you were cross-culturally doing missions?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I hit a lot of burnout, a lot of cross-cultural stress that I wasn't prepared for. And it was pretty lonely. I mean, we served on a team, but I really would have benefited to have somebody in my life that was, you know, helping me navigate that season.
Wow. So you were doing college ministry or university ministry primarily, working with university students?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In China? And so was Corey, he was working with?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And how many years did you do that? How long were you there?
So we were in country 5. But yeah, we were also raising support, trying to get there. You know how it is. It's probably a total of six or seven years that we're involved in that work.
That's incredible. 5 years being over there.
Yeah, that's amazing. What little bit I've experienced of living cross-culturally, can't imagine what that would be like to be there an extended amount of time. Yeah.
Yeah, we were in our 20s. So, you know, you kind of feel like you can conquer the world in your 20s, right?
Absolutely.
And we were there in a season where God was just growing his church in significant ways. We got to be part of something that was just something historically amazing. So it was life changing.
Yeah, you were on the front lines, but you didn't have a lot of the help from home, which would have been really helpful.
Yeah.
Coach would have been helpful. Did you have people that were pouring into your life in other ways, like mentoring? Obviously, you had a team leader. What was that like?
Yeah, I did. There was a woman that's still one of my closest friends today, that lived in a neighboring city, that I would see occasionally. Just a wonderful person. She's now been trained as a counselor and she counsels missionaries. So really blessed by that. But, you know, the thing I love about coaching is just, it's in your calendar, you know, it's intentional time month by month where it's set aside to focus on your issues and move forward in your calling. And I didn't have that repetitive, regular interaction with anybody at that season of my life.
Yeah, so it was more sporadic and less intentional and regular, like we emphasize with gospel coaching. Yeah.
Yep.
Big difference. Big difference when you're on the front lines of ministry, be it in a foreign country or as a church planter or a church planter's wife.
Today, it's time to remind yourself of the grace-renewing dynamics at the heart of gospel coaching. Tom's new book, Vital Grace, Getting Everything for Nothing, is the expanded teaching of the core of the coaching you received in your foundations class when you trained to become a gospel coach. David Whitehead, Senior Director and Urban Gospel Coaching Trainer with City to City New York, wrote, "This book is a winner and needs to be read by anyone who is serious about going deeper in their walk with Christ." Dr. Bill Sim, Korean Ministries Coordinator for Mission in North America, who recently completed all the pieces of Gospel Coach training, said, "Vital Grace is like a defibrillator, awakening us to experience a radical outpouring of God's grace." Vital Grace, Getting Everything for Nothing by Tom Wood is now available at Amazon.com. Get your copies today, one for you and one for your coachees, so they are saturated in gospel renewal.
So you've had a lot of experience, years of it, both as a missionary, 5 years on the field, and now 12 years starting a church from scratch, and then going through all of those different phases of church planning and becoming a real church, and just recently got into a new building. And so you've gone through all the different phases, all the different, and but you've also had, along the journey, you had pretty extensive training with a wonderful organization that we highly recommend. And actually, as I was thinking about this for today, the organization you were a part of and did training in, Parakaleo, was actually first developed here in Atlanta in the mid-2000s when we were starting a church planting network. And Parakaleo was born here. And they were still working out the different ways they were going to develop that ministry. So it's a ministry to wives, and it's a gospel-centered heart kind of thing. And you've had a lot of training with that, and you're a trainer. You've done training with them and for them in other cities as well, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, with all the extensive training and experiences you've had, we're just so glad you're part of our coaching team.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, just as you think about Parakaleo and all of the experiences you've had, I'm just curious if you could talk a little bit about the difference between mentoring and coaching. Let's start with the similarities. What's similar about it?
Yeah. I think, it can feel, mentoring and coaching can both feel like friendship, somebody that really wants to be in your life, to encourage you, to pray for you, to celebrate the unique way that God has made you. Those are things I love about mentoring and coaching. I think they're very similar in that way. Just a reminder to be curious about what God's doing in everybody's story. So I've served also at our church as a women's ministry director. So a lot of mentoring there, a lot of intentional time with women. So those are the things I would say are similar.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about the key differences that you've become aware of now that you've been coached, and now that you're a coach, with a gospel coach with us, and now as a trainer with us as well.
Yeah. So coaching is a bit more of an art, a bit more of a dance, asking questions, seeking to draw the person out. It's still coming alongside of them, but not so much, let me tell you how I've done this thing. It's, what is God leading you to do? How has God been faithful to you in the past that can remind you that he's with you now as you face this thing in front of you? So it's a little more sitting and listening and drawing out than a mentoring would be. But it's still, you're there to kind of navigate their course and remind them of the gospel along the way. But it's driven by them, and they steer the conversation, and you're just there to help them uncover what's there in their lives.
Right. And now that you've been on staff for a while and you've got a full slate of people that you're coaching, and even a few that are wishing that they could have you as a gospel coach, what are the things that you're finding really interesting about coaching women who are in ministry?
Yeah, it's been really fun. I started on this journey just really passionate about the church planting life. And through my training with CMM, I've gained skills where I could coach lots of different kinds of women. So it's been really exciting to get to work with women who are executive leaders in churches and starting nonprofits, and a woman seeking to be a chaplain. There's a lot of different opportunities, but there's also, I'm seeing the similarities of, women need a safe place. They need a safe place to talk about their struggles, to wrestle with their calling and what the Lord may have for them, to navigate conflict. A lot of times they, you know, they're facing something with someone they're working with and they don't know who they can talk to about it. I've had so many women say, I don't really have anybody else I can talk to about this thing. So providing that safe place is just, has been beautiful. And I'm also kind of hearing some similar themes of, you know, a lot of women serve in churches where they're a bit of the minority. There's predominantly a, you know, male staff. And so there may be some insecurity there, or, you know, feelings of I need to prove myself, or I got to do this perfectly. So it's been great opportunity for the gospel just to celebrate, you know, hey, we're not going to do this thing perfectly. And how can those places of weakness pave the way for the gospel, for you to see your need for Jesus, for you to understand that he's with you through whatever you face, and to rely on him to be strong for you.
When I started coaching, when I started CMM, we started in 2004, January 2004, kind of rolling out. Coaching was a pretty new thing for church planters, pastors, at least within the tribes that I was working in. I think other places had already figured it out, but or were figuring it out. And so it was kind of a new thing, and charging people or trying to get clients to, or pastors or church planters to engage with the coach was helpful, but it was a new industry. And then in 2012, when our book came out, it really began to kind of infiltrate more and more into the church, because gospel coaching is a different kind of coaching than just business coaching. So now we're on the cusp, we're on the front end of the wave of women coaching, gospel coaching. And you've been a church planter's wife. What would you say are things that you've learned both by being a planter's wife and now a coach of a planter's wife that you would tell, here's the thing, you would tell a church planter who's getting a coach because he's been told you need a coach, does his wife need a coach? And if so, what kinds of things are you discovering or learning about coaching a church planter's wife?
You know, it's so interesting. I tell my husband this all the time. I feel like I hear the same phrases from all the church planners' wives that I work with. And they're also the same things that are coming out of my mouth too. So I'm just kind of brings validity to the fact that this is a real struggle. I think one of the biggest things is just the ambiguity of the call. Your husband is employed by the church, but as the planter's wife, you often function like an employee that doesn't get paid. You're asking the question, am I on staff? What's expected of me? Do I have to say yes and stand in the gap for all of these places where there's not a leader, you know?
Right. Do I have to be the women's Bible study teacher and the head of the nursery? I like the one where people go, the wife would say, is the trunk of my car or my van the church's nursery or my trunk?
Is my garage the storage facility for the church?
Right.
So do you think coaching
a church planter's wife is an important thing that we should be adding to church planters' budgets, that they should have a coach for their spouse?
Absolutely. I think a lot of times, I mean, we believe that we have an enemy, right? I believe the enemy often attacks the marriage in church plant and attacks the wife. And I think having that built in, you know, like you're going to have the help and support that you need is so important from the beginning. This is one thing I've advocated for in our church and some in our presbytery, because once you've been in the church plant and things are hard, if it's not already in your budget, it's a lot harder to add it in later. But if you go in with the understanding that the wife will need this. And it's already there. And the wife doesn't have to go to the session and advocate for herself. Sometimes the session can be the very place where she's struggling. She's struggling with these other leaders. And to put her in that vulnerable spot is just, you know, she can do that. But it's so much better if this is forethought or thought out beforehand, that she'll need this and that she has access to it when she does.
Yeah. So for our non-Presbyterian listeners, the session or the elders or the ordained leadership. So Olivia, your contribution that you've made to CMM, and more importantly to the major influence you're having on the lives of so many women, is so, so important. You're so, not just in the U.S., too, globally. I mean, you're coaching people, women, on the global stage as well. But you're a major blessing to the church, and so glad you're part of our team. Any ideas you could even surprise me if you want to with it, but what do you plan to do to expand gospel coaching for women in the future?
Yeah, well, first agenda item would be to recruit more women to be gospel coaches.
Okay.
I'm in conversations with one that's hopefully going to come on part-time staff in the fall, and have a conversation next couple of weeks with a second one. That's going to be a surprise to y'all. I don't think I told y'all that.
No.
With the hopes of that. It. And I when I started this, I wondered if I'd have enough work, and I'm full most of the time. You know, I do tend to have some seasons that are not as busy as others, but yeah, I've kind of hit my max, and I need more people to come alongside and do this work with me.
Great. And you are really committed to this, because you went out personally and raised support in order to make this happen. And so as other women who may consider gospel coaching, they may end up having to do the same thing to raise support to do this. So if there are any listeners who see the value of women coaching and want to build a support system for us, that'd be great as well. So as we're closing, I'm going to give you one last shot at the pastors or planters that may be listening, not just our coaches. This is for coaches, but what would you say to a pastor or a planter who may be listening in this about his spouse? What would you encourage him to do?
I would encourage him. I think in that season, it's so busy and overwhelming. And you can kind of miss your wife in that season. And just, I would encourage him to listen, to ask good questions of his wife, and to advocate for her, for the help and support that she needs. Because she's vitally important for the success of the church plant. And she's got unique gifts that the Lord would love to use to build his church. And if she has access to a coach or a mentor, someone that could come alongside of her and support her in that season, she'll have so much more to give, and she'll be much more healthy for the sake of the church and for the sake of her as a person and her individual calling.
Yeah, great. So I would add, as president, to the planter or pastor who's maybe listening, first of all, you're not supposed to be listening. This is for coaches. But if you are listening, find some money in your budget and get a coach for your wife.
Yeah. What about for pastors, planters, coaches that are listening to this? What unique perspective might you bring about women in ministry and what we might not know that you're discovering as you coach?
Yeah, I just think it can feel a bit like an uphill battle for some of these women serving in a predominantly male environment. That they would listen and ask good questions. Again, the same kind of advice I'd give to the planner. Just take time to listen, and also maybe take time to encourage. I think a lot of these women really just need to be encouraged. They're so gifted. And I love to encourage these women, but I think hearing it from the people you're working with, you know, from your boss, if you're the senior pastor or the boss of the women's ministry director, whatever, to bring encouragement to these women and just see that this might be a struggle sometimes, would be so valuable for them.
That's really good.
For the ones who are funding this, I've seen that. I've been surprised by that, actually. There have been several pastors who are funding coaching for their women's staff. And I just want to say thank you to those men and for seeing the value of it for these women.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. Well, it's been encouraging to listen to some of the story that God's been bringing you along on as we've had this time together. Any final thoughts or things that you'd like to share as we wrap up?
No, I just want to say again, it's so exciting to be able to serve in this way. I love being connected to what God's doing throughout the world and in His church, and just a blessed part of what I get to do. Honestly, I really love my job, and I hope that more women will come alongside and do the same thing I'm doing. So
you're saying that you like this job, huh?
I like it. I do. It's great.
I feel the same way. When I tell people what I get to do, I just can't believe that I have the honor of doing it. It sounds like you feel the same. Yeah, it's a real joy. It's great to have you with us today. Great to have Tom here coaxing things out, getting some questions on the table, and we will we'll reconnect here soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Olivia.
Take care.
All right. God bless.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment or a story to share, send us a note via gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com.